no panic. It's organic. The way that nature intended it. Don't panic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. I have this ringing in my ear. Now it's... Can you hear it? That must be my sinuses. Okay, today we have a guest. His name is Matt Slaughter, and he's from Earthfort, Earth Fortification Supply Company. Sounds like a cool name, but I would give my city that I build on my planet. And one of the things I like about them is they say they'll fix your dirt. So we're going to talk to them a little bit. Today, he should be coming on any memento now. Number, if you want to talk to him, because I'm always open, you know, we're always, that's what we're here for. So if any of you guys want to talk with Matt, you have a soil question, but that's what they do. They have a soil expert, all kinds of really cool stuff about the soil, because, you know, I'm all about the soil, so it's about time we got him on here. But the number is 888-627-6008. A direct line is 323-744-4831. You can, of course, call Skype directly, which is BBS Radio PR, right? BBS Radio PR will get you directly to Skype right now, because that's what we use here. We use a Skype-o, right? So you can talk to me. Pretty soon, I'm going to be switching over to a video format. I don't know if I want to do that now, because I like doing the show naked, and I probably will have to wear a blanket or a sheet over my head or something, you know. if I put it over my head, how can I see what I'm doing? So I mean, I put holes in it, but then I look like a ghost. So I don't know. I don't know. It's so confusing. I have to think about it. Anyway, visit my website, invisiblegardener.com. Check it out. There are other ways you can ask me questions for the show here. You can send email to andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. A few people, by the way, have called me up. There's something wrong with your, you know, email. It's coming back. I'm unbounceable. So they go to the website, and up there it's got the phone number. So then they call me up and says, your email is not working. And I tell them to spell it back. And of course they spelled it wrong. So if you look, which is kind of weird, because, you know, if you go to the website, it's spelled correctly up on the website. That's always, you would not be able to find the website, right? So remember, it's just spelled invisible, not invincible, like an invisible man. And gardener, not like James Gardner, but in your gardener, you hire your gardener. So it's invisiblegardener.com. andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. So we have a contest going on every month. The winner of the number one winner, you know, whoever gets the first prize gets my color book. I have Don't Panic, It's Organic. My new book is out. I have a color version and a black and white version. The black and white version is $20. The color version is $100. You get that as a, when you join the club, you get the color version. So it's a $50. I sell it for $50 on my website. Plus the winner gets, so when you, the first person to either call me or email me gets a lifetime membership to the club. They get the color version of the book. And of course, as a member, you can access all my other books. You can get the members podcast. I have several different podcasts. So Don't Panic, It's Organic podcast, which is this one, which is also the same Don't Panic, It's Organic podcast up on iTunes, So if you, you know, and there, the podcast is available all over the place too. So let's see. So today we're going to be talking about, I'm going to be interviewing Earthport. And it, they say it's all about soil health. That sounds familiar, right? Hey, Mr. Engineer, is Matt on yet?
Hey.
I really like your, hang on a second. I'm getting spaced out with this music I'm playing. I play music to the soil. That's what I do to calm the soil down.
All right. Yeah.
I like your website in a lot of ways. I do like the fact that it says you fix dirt.
Yes.
I like that because, you know, well, I think I talked to you about my feelings about dirt, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of cute when you think about it. It's a really clever little way to say you fix dirt, because dirt, to me, it's not live soil. So if you fix it, then it goes back to being live soil, right?
Exactly. Yes. That's
cool. Exactly. I also noticed you're the president, right? You started in, what, 2004?
Yeah.
What happened? You guys are just sitting around watching TV all of a sudden. Hey, you know, I think I'm going to start this called Earthport.
No, what? Actually, about a year and a half before I started Earthport, I actually started working in a soil lab that did the testing. You know, I was testing biology, working with researchers, working with farmers, looking at the living component of the soil.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was actually a computer guy. So I'm just sitting there, you know, entering data, trying to answer people's questions, because they call and say, okay, great, I have this wonderful information. Now, what do I do?
That's true.
And we all went, well, you know, you could do the Anthony Hopkins thing. You could pee on it. Let's see, what else could you do? You could throw compost at it. I don't know. And so we decided to answer that question a little more directly. And rather than have the lab actually do that, because they were kind of busy, I said, you know what? I'm going to start a new enterprise that looks at soil amendments, practices, things that we can do to actually address the problems that we're finding in the soils. When we're looking at the living component of the soil, what kind of problems are we having? What kind of products do we need to solve those problems? And so Earth Fortification Supplies Company, Earthfort, was born to answer the questions and to work with those soil reports. Because, you know, we just kind of took the model, you know, chemistry laboratories test the nutrients of the soil and tell you how much fertilizer to put down. We should be telling people what kind of things to put down to help the biology. So, and, you know, at first it was just, you know, looking at what existed in the market, and not much, really. So we started working with composters, started looking at compost tea, fish hydrolysate, kelp, humic acids, all these different things that could be used to enhance the biology. And basically what ended up happening is they all pretty much sucked. So I had to invent all my own stuff. So
that sounds familiar to me too.
Yeah.
I like all the different because, you know, I've been doing this since the 70s. And so imagine in 1970, you're sending something off to a lab. I came back and says, well, you're deficient in calcium and you should get this fertilizer, right? You need 20 pounds of this and 20 pounds of that, right?
Right. Yep.
And that was ridiculous. And it was still going on that way even just a few years ago. I mean, now my whole emphasis has changed from so much as sending them off to the lab to see what, you know, what's missed, minerals are missing. I want to send it off to a lab and say, well, tell me what the microbiology is about. What's going on with the mycorrhiza? What's, you know, what's going on in there in the terms of living organisms? That's what I want to know. If they're not there, I know immediately they're going to be missing and all kinds of all the trace minerals.
Yep. Yeah.
So what makes you guys different? Because I know there are a couple other labs that do something similar in the sense that there are a few labs that I know of, because I send stuff all the time. I'm just looking at your stuff going, gee, maybe I should switch over, because I'm reading on your website all the different, yeah. You even including Phytophthora, a way to test for Phytophthora too, because I have to send that to a separate lab, right? Different labs, different things.
Yeah. Yeah. So the main difference with ours, so of course we do biological assays. So we're testing for bacteria, fungal populations, protozoa, nematodes, mycorrhizae,
diseases.
We can do all that. And there's not very many labs that offer that service. But then we also offer chemistry testing, which is familiar to most people. But the difference is that when we interpret the information, it's not from a perspective of how do we change this soil chemically. It's what might be missing that the biology needs. So we still use a life first approach to interpretation.
You know, that's different than, I don't think I've run across any labs that way, because all the labs pretty much are stuck on, well, you need to give it this, you know, this fertilizer or that. Even the ones, even when you tell them, look, I'm doing it organic, just don't tell me, they still say you need, and they don't even, they don't seem to be, I find it interesting that I can actually send it off to you guys. You can tell me the mycorrhizal content of my soil.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like really hard to do now in terms of sending it off to a lab that will do that for you.
Yeah.
I mean, the average person, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're trying to make it as accessible as possible. So whether you're growing in a pot in the 10th story of your studio apartment and just have a little container, we can do the testing on that. Tell you what's going on and how to help fix it.
I love you even test the compost too. Your compost. So if somebody's making compost, you can tell them what's going on, because you know people they have. It may look good, but there's nothing. If there's nothing there, they're not going to get anything out of it.
That's right. Yeah. So we're trying hard, and we keep growing. So you know, the lab that I started working for, I actually bought it and incorporated it into Earthfort a few years ago. You know, and then started expanding the offering. So, yeah, we're just, you know, whether you're a homeowner or 10,000, I just talked to a 12,000 acre farmer in Texas who wants to do biology on their farm, you know.
Yeah, it's about time, too. It's about time, too, because, you know, one of the things that, you know, I'm an old Florida boy. I'm living in California now, but in Florida, I was telling people the same thing. You know, like with the citrus greening disease.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that a guy who has 14,000 acres of citrus would kind of want to know what his soil is all about, right? Not so much. I mean, I talked to this guy. All he cares about is how much calcium, how much magnesium it has. Yeah. Constantly supplying the nitrogen, and of course, he's really smart now, so he buys all these different chemical versions of the of calcium, you know, magnesium versions, and they say we spray so many pounds of this, so many pounds of that, and then you ask him, so why aren't you organic, right? He doesn't believe in the term organic or natural, but so he's right, and so and of course they're not going to solve their problem that way, because I asked him, I said, well, what about compost? How can we supply compost of 14,000 acres? That was his answer.
Yeah, and the answer is compost tea.
Yeah,
or some similar type of, you know, you have to liquefy it so that it's easier to spread out.
Right, you know? That's one of the things I do at people's properties, even though, because I, you know, so you know that is if somebody sends you a sample of soil, you can't overnight change the structure and everything in the soil. It's going to take you.
No.
It took you years to get to screw up your soil. You're going to take you a while to get it back in shape again. So in the interim, spraying is one of the best ways. The compost tea, for example, if you have a source, a really good compost that's made perfectly, and that's one of the things that's always hard to find now. You can't go to the store and get this stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, you can actually, but you don't know for sure.
Right. Well, you can go buy compost, but you know it's probably not very. Not, if you, if you send it off to like to your lab, you'll say, well, you'll know exactly what it is because it would be missing in a variety of the major microbes that are needed. There's no way right. it could be in a sealed bag. Yeah, this year that you just came back from Haiti. What did you do there?
Oh, so in Haiti, so all of the practices and principles of soil biology management, I'm working with a group of farmer educators. They're doing an agroecology training program. So the farmers themselves are learning how to compost, how to make compost tea. They're doing cover crops. They're stopping burning the soil, doing all these different practices and taking care of the life. And then they learn from people like me, and maybe even people like you, how to do these things. And then they take that knowledge and they teach other farmers in Haiti. So it's really a grassroots training program for teaching farmers how to be more sustainable.
That's so different. Right, that's so different than going there. Here's some GMO corn, here's some fertilizer, and here's some pesticides. Yeah. Have a nice day.
No, it's the group I'm working with, which is Partners in Progress Haiti, is a nonprofit, and their mission is to enable self-sustaining practices. And so they raise the money that they raise for the nonprofit is just to provide the tools and training that the farmers need. So this is my second trip. I was there last August, and then this fall I'll be going back.
And we're going. How long do you stay there? How long do you stay there at a time?
A week to 10 days, I think.
And during that, in that time, what do you have, like 24-hour sessions all the time, or what?
Do what?
How do you get all that information across to people like that? That's such a short time. I would think you have to live there for a while.
Yeah, I live there for, basically I'm living on the farm at the education center, in rural Haiti. So I'm just living like they are. There's no electricity. There's no running water. The internet is questionable most of the time. So it's pretty rough, but it's so great because they are very responsive. They're very intelligent and they learn very fast.
They don't have much of a choice because they were taught one way, which has literally destroyed their soil and their land. And they're saying that we've had enough of that. Same thing in Africa. Same thing. Any place we go to in the world, we don't show them sustainability. We don't show them stuff that they can learn and do things on their own. We want stuff that they have to buy from us or come back to us over and over again.
Yeah, and that's, that works fine in an industrialized country where efficiency is important. And that 12,000 acre farm in Texas, he's not going to be able to do by himself all of those things on that large farm. So he has to have other tools.
Right.
So, what's exciting to me, though, is that the farmers, and it's not just guys, it's men and women both, they're ready to go to Africa now. They want to go to Africa and teach African farmers these practices.
Anywhere in the world, anywhere in the world,
anywhere,
pick an island, right?
Pick an island, pick any developing area. I think even here, there's people here in the States who are, they want to use these kind of practices in their home farm, their urban farms, their urban gardens, even the small, if you got a little market farm, these kind of practices, you don't need a tractor to farm a few acres of land. You don't need electricity. You don't need those things, technology.
I live here in Ventura, which is, big farming place, lots of farming. People have 100 acres here and 100 acres there. And that would be perfect to teach them how to be self-sustainable. My whole thing has been, for a long time, is the homeowners. It's like a small farm, and these people are not sustainable. They have the faintest idea how to make their property healthier and healthier and healthier and healthier. It gets worse and worse and worse. Then they have all these diseases with the trees, including the bark beetle and everything. It's a wonder that, and then you have the drought and you have the water changes. And of course, they're not going to survive under these conditions. But if you practice, you know, self-sustainability on people's properties, I was at a place the other day. I said, I'll give you $100 for any earthworms you find. Yeah. Not one earthworm could they pull up, right?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Tell me about your soil provide. Is it provider, provide, or revive?
Provide. Yeah, provide. Yeah, so all those years of working with compost tea and compost extracts and different ways of trying to take the biology in that compost material and get it out on the soil, you know, there's some serious limitations to compost tea. You know, consistency, quality, you know, time frame, scalability.
Yeah, you have to use it up right away. As soon as you make it, you gotta use it
pretty quick. And also documentation, you know, places like, you know, a city or a municipality, you know, they can to an extent use something like that, but they usually need like paperwork, right? They need a label or something like that.
Yeah.
So I took all the knowledge and, of course, with the laboratory right there, I figured out a way to get the biology from the compost into a bottle in a stable fashion. So the trade secret is it's stable for 2 years in a bottle, which is, if you talk to anybody, is impossible. So I'm cool with that. You could believe it's impossible if you like. But the reality is that the bacteria and fungi in that material, we found a way to stabilize it without killing it. You know, there's nothing we do that makes it, that kills it. It's just the way it's processed, we're able to keep it stable. So now, and highly concentrated. So now I've got all this bacteria and fungi, and a gallon will treat an acre of land.
An acre of land. How about, so I have a 100-gallon sprayer.
Yeah.
How much of that would I use? So the gallon, it depends on the concentration. I can't say I've used your products. That's one of the things I would like to normally do is use them before I talk about it. I mean, I read, you know, your information on it. And so, I mean, I can, it sounds like stuff I should be using myself because it's got so many wonderful things in it. And then you also have your, you have the label, which is what, to me, what it's all about, reading labels, you know? And like, for example, your soil provider, is it provider? Provide. So I was just reading a stable solution of extracted beneficial microbes. It's like, okay, even how long have you guys been around? Since 70? 74? When? How long have you guys been around? Huh? 2004. Okay, see, so just, you know, it's just only recently because, you know, I imagine in the sixth grade, I started doing my spraying business, I had to make up my own stuff. I have a product which I invented myself. It's very similar. It's not like yours, you know. I mean, you know, this is just the guy working out of his garage, so it's just something I make, you know. But the beneficial organisms you got in it alone, for me, I would say, gee, I because normally, see, I buy tons of stuff from all different kinds of places and put them together and blend them and all the kind of stuff. It's like, and I'm going, well, you know, as I get older, and more people like you are popping up who are making these wonderful products.
Yeah.
I go, well, you guys can spend the money on it, and I'll start using it because it looks, so if I had a gallon, I have a 100-gallon sprayer, and I'm talking about just a normal homeowner. You know, they have fruit trees, they got lawns, they got trees. I wouldn't use a whole gallon in 100 gallons of water, would I?
Yeah, probably. You just do, so that gallon has enough biology to treat 43,000 square feet, approximately. Now, we usually do a little heavier load, so maybe figure that gallon will cover 10,000 square feet, just because you got urban pressure, right? So, you know, so
I can spray the lawns with it. And this is also good as a foliar spray too, right?
Yes. Yep.
Right.
Yep. You can put it on the foliage, put it in the beds, put it on the lawn, you know, spray it on the dog. I don't know. It won't hurt anything.
A long time ago, I saw this movie that this scientist made. He said, you don't realize it, but there are microbes living on the leaves in a forest. It is in a forest, rainforest. There are microorganisms living on the leaves of these plants.
Yeah.
And that's when I said, shoot, I better start, including the microorganisms in the spray. Because I was spraying, you know, I used to spray coffee cream and sugar, natural things, you know. But I started, I learned a long time ago, you want these microorganisms everywhere pretty much because we're always constantly killing them. You know, the city water kills them, chemical fertilizer kills them. You know, you pee, you'll probably kill it. But so,
pee's probably okay.
Right?
Delete it. Yeah.
But I like the product. I like the, I like, and you know, what's interesting about it too is it's, this is, let's see. What's the difference? It says here $25 to $100. Is that the size?
Yeah. So a 1 gallon bottle is $25 on the website. 5 gallons is $100.
Whoa. Okay. So $25 for a gallon.
Yeah.
So you guys must have really just bend over backwards to make it. Cause, you know, and this, if have you looked at the prices of stuff being sold today? Because you know, the, with marijuana now being
so,
different places.
Yeah, I've you know, working within the grow shop industry, looking at garden centers and stuff, and the prices that people are
outrageous.
To be willing to pay.
If I go to a you know, a marijuana grow shop, there's a whole bunch of them all over the place, and they sell these, you know, all these microbial liquids. A gallon of their stuff anywhere near it would probably be $200, $300, or $400.
I know.
Easily.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, the difference is, so here's the difference, is that this product was not designed for cannabis market or even the landscape market. It was designed for the agricultural market.
Yeah.
I want farmers. So $25 a gallon in a 1 gallon jug. You buy a 250 gallon tote, it's $5 a gallon.
Wow. So that means that a little guy like me, I can just buy that 5 gallon, which will do quite, you know, if I do 1 gallon to do one customer, it'll do 5 customers easy. And, you know, the thing is, I've learned from experience, you can't just spray it once, you have to spray it regularly. On a regular basis, I do a foliar spraying and soil soaking. But I also do, you know, I said tell people, look, you got to bring compost. You got to stay taking care of the soil. You need to stop overwatering. Yeah. All the usual cultural things that people don't seem to understand. And, of course, by the way, this is also very good too, because, you know, when you're making compost, you want to water it in a little bit. Guess what you should be in the water? Right?
Good.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's the other thing about our products is that they are not, what's the terminology? They're not silver bullets. These are tools that are part of a whole program.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. Because that's the, I started doing, I mean, in the sixth grade, I started taking care of customers. I don't do gardening, but I tell basically the same thing. Nope, you can't use a chemical fertilizer. Nope, you got to tell your gardener you can't do that. No, you can't. No, you can't have it both ways, one way or the other. If you either take care of your property right or don't talk to me because you can't use the MG, which is, you know what, that heavy-duty fertilizer that they use, and still expect any results.
Yeah, so I take a little bit different approach to some of that, and then we work on integration.
Yeah.
And the thing is that all of those chemicals, when used properly and in moderation, can be integrated into a biological program and can be utilized to great advantage. So when I'm, and that's, you know, mostly for large scale farmers, right? When I go talk to a farmer and tell them to stop fertilizing, our conversation is done because they don't believe it.
No, they won't.
But if I go in and say I can help you reduce every year over the next few years, reduce 15 to 20% your fertilizer until we get down to, you know, at least half or maybe even 25% of what you've been putting out, you know, with the goal of going at 10%. You know, it's difficult to achieve on large scale monocrops full elimination of fertilizers. But once we get them balanced and working, then we can also transition them to organic fertilizers a lot easier.
Well, you know, big difference that these farmers are businesses. They have to constantly be making money, and they can't be spending money. Unlike a homeowner, you know, it's not a real business of their property. By the time they call me, their property's already had it. The people already said, I'm done using this. I need to do something else. But if a person calls me, you know, they've been chemical property all their life and they want to switch over, I tell them, you just can't stop doing one thing and switch the other thing. So you have to find an intermediate product. There are lots of products on the market now, you know, that are not 100% organic, but they at least have the organics in it. You know, a lot of organic fertilizers now can be substituted. I can substitute them really easy enough, you know. But the main key is to find the biologicals to start. Because I do, you know what fertigation is?
Mm-hmm.
How do these, work in the fertigation unit? How do you think?
Oh yeah, it works great. We got a lot of people, you know, running it through the drip system, running it through fertigation, running it through irrigation. Some of the big farmers, they just dump it in their pivot tank and run it through the pivots. So,
do you think if it sat there long enough, it'll blow up if it gets hot or something, if it gets very biological, as long as they keep using it, they're fine, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the key. You just can't dump it in your fertigation unit and let it sit there for months.
Right. Yeah, it has to be pretty quick run through.
Right. So I hook up fertigation units all the time for that specific purpose. I have I'm a natural arborist, so I do water the trees differently than you water the lawn. And of course, the biologicals, you have to constantly be adding the biologicals to it. By the way, I love it that you have not only the application rate, but you have the MSDS, then you have the organic certification there, and then you have their label. That's for me, in the old days, I used to say, I send me a product because I want to read the labels. Well, there's the label. Yeah. You know, you don't need the product to look at the label, right?
Well, that's one thing that I was determined when we were doing this and putting our own products out. I said, I refuse to be one of these companies that doesn't tell you what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, the labels are very important.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you how I make the product because that's a little bit of a trade secret, but I'm going to tell you what's in it and what you need to know to make at least an informed decision, right? Because so many of those products, you try and find a label for some of those things and they're like,
I know,
you know, it's impossible.
And if they don't want to show you the label, then there's something that they're hiding in there.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the products are the same. You can go to, you know, you go to a cannabis grow shop and buy something for $300 for a gallon, or you could go to an organic garden center and get it for $25, or you could go on Amazon. If you go on Amazon, some of those, like fish hydrolysate in a grow shop.
Yeah.
You know, people are dumping a little humic acid in it and charging an outrageous amount of dollars.
Yeah, I know.
And you can get a gallon of it for, you know, $20 on the internet, you know,
easy,
and have it delivered to your house.
Tell me about what's in the Soil Revive.
Okay, so Soil Revive is a food source to help feed and stimulate the biology. And it also is designed to help neutralize salt buildup. So when you're working with a customer who's been over fertilizing,
salt,
one of the problems is you get all that excess nutrient built up in the soil.
Yeah.
In the form of salt, and it becomes unavailable. So
that's what kills the mycelium. The salt just destroys it.
The Revive is a humic acid. It's got kelp in it. It's got complex carbohydrates. And it goes in there and it chelates the salts. It makes them bioavailable. And then stimulates the biology, especially the fungi, to grow and eat that stuff.
So is it like pelletized?
What's that?
Is it pelletized?
It is a soluble powder.
Okay, so a powder that you then blend it in with the soil, or do you add water and then pour it into the soil?
Add water and then put it in. And it's perfectly compatible with Provide. So almost all the time, it's the two of them go together. I almost think of it as really one product in two bottles.
This is water soluble, right?
Yeah.
So what would happen if I would take the Soil Revive and figure out a way to get a small amount of it into my 100-gallon sprayer. Like I can make like a compost, I make a tea bag, yeah. and get a pantyhose, put a little bit in it.
Oh, you don't even need to do that. Just mix it in a bucket a little bit before.
Pre-dissolve it.
Dump it in, you know.
So I can just pre-dissolve it, stir it all up, make sure it's all dissolved, and then put it in the 100 gallons?
Yep.
Gee whiz. And then it says here that it's $30 to $500. So $500 would be the 25-pound size,
yep.
right? And the $30 would be a pound, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So a pound, it seems like a pound. I wouldn't put a pound in the 100 gallons, would I?
Probably not.
No. Yeah. would I so put a cup?
Yeah. So a pound will treat, again, you know, the way I designed the products and the concentrations and everything, a pound will treat 43,000 square feet.
A pound, yeah. So a cup will do like at least 5,000, right?
Yeah, 5 to 10,000. So, yeah, it's pretty concentrated. So it's, you know, it's very cost effective. And again, these products are priced for agriculture.
Or an average gardener could use it, would love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, a gallon and a pound for an average gardener would probably take care of their whole property for a year.
Wow. That's like a long. Seriously, I mean, oh, yeah. You mean if you get the pound, the pound soil revive, you have plenty to use over the year. Would you do it every month?
Yeah, probably every month, every 3 to 6 weeks. Depends on the plants that you're working with and what you're trying to grow.
I bet you this stuff is wonderful for roses and fruit trees.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. It really, the only thing that you have to go easy on with these products is you do a really light application on leafy vegetables, lettuces, kales, broccoli, cauliflower, things like that. Because those kinds of plants are really bacterial, and Provine and Revive are really designed to help the fungi in the soil.
Yeah, okay, right.
But you could still use them. There's still plenty of bacteria, and those plants still need fungi, just not as much. So that's why when you look at the label, we've got vegetable rates, turf and row crop type of rates, perennials, and then trees.
Yeah, landscapes, you know, ornamentals, and fruiting shrubs and trees.
Yeah.
It says here a quart. You only have to add 4 ounces of Revive if you're doing application rates. It's 4 ounces per 1,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And is there? I also noticed this. There's a lot of wonderful stuff here. I think you just got yourself a new customer. What I'm going to do is. My very next customer that says, you know, I need, well, I'm going to start incorporating this stuff into my spraying service because, you know, I always want to get the best that I can give to, provide to my customer. But I also noticed that what's really cool too is that you guys have classes or something like that.
Yeah, we do. I do workshops. Training. Yeah, a couple times a year we do workshops up here in Oregon. I also do online training programs for people. Yep. We call it a soil stewardship.
Right.
And they're basically, we get on Skype or on a online, and I go through 7 or 8 hour and a half long classes and teach you all this stuff, teach you everything you need to know about soil biology, how to integrate biological practices into your business.
And they get a certification.
Yeah, well, we do the certification, so it's, you know,
yeah,
whatever. But it's it's a program that's designed to create a network of people like yourself who are interested in serving their customers at a higher level. We create networking opportunities with all of the soil stewards. There's discounts and additional training.
So did I hear you say you will give me this training for free because I'm such a wonderful guy and so far ahead of the crowd and everything?
We can talk about that, but normally it's $1,000 or something like that. Yeah.
I see what you got here. You have introduction to soil base. I mean, where were you about 20 years ago or even 30 years ago when I started? Because, you know, I try to go to different schools. you know, different colleges, and I knew more than the teachers did. They first thing they tell me is there nitrogen is nitrogen. What's the big deal, right?
Yeah, no, there's different forms of nitrogen. Come on. So
I know.
So I'm sorry about that. I came to the game as soon as I was supposed to come to the game. So we're here now.
I think that this is excellent for professionals. Right now the farmers are a lot of people and arborists too, you know, up against the wall, the businesses, because all these diseases and pests are taking over, and no matter what they're doing, they obviously are not getting the answer. And, you know, did I send you a copy of my new book, Don't Panic, It's Organic? I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I talked about the soil.
Well, you didn't send me the book, but I've heard talk about it.
Oh, I thought I sent you the PDF version of it.
Maybe you did. I don't know. I've been in Haiti, so.
Oh, okay. I'll send it to you again, because that's what I talk about, especially like, you know, your greening disease, you name the bark beetle, you name whatever disease. I tell them, look, I think you should look at the soil, because the tree is connected to the soil. Maybe you may want to figure out what's going on there that's wrong, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also working on a book, you know, Fixing Broken Dirt. You know,
I like that, though. I think is that the title of it?
Yeah, that'll probably be the title.
I love it.
Getting close. So I'm going to put all of this. I'm trying to put all of the things that I've learned over the years into a book so that it's a little more accessible. In addition to the $1,000 workshop or training and the workshops, this will have a series of DVDs that talk about these principles as well. I think the whole set is only like $75 for 5 or 6 DVDs. So,
yeah, they're like $18 each. Ecological succession, compost tea and alternative, compost production, and practical soil biology. I tell you, man, there's another one, Earthford DVD set and the biology base. Where were you when I wanted to do this? Because I had to learn everything the hard way.
Well, that just makes you better.
Well, you know, I love your compost brewing tea setup, by the way. Is this your baby? Did you guys develop these compost tea setup brewers?
So the two Earthford products, the educational program and the brewers and everything, that was all designed by me. I took the education that I learned. Of course, I had a lot of great mentors and a lot of experience to get the knowledge, so it's not, I can't claim it's all mine, but the brewers, that was all designed, you know, through trial and error. And really, there's a lot of commercial brewers out there, and they all had some little flaw. Like they were either too expensive or too hard to clean, or the way they recirculated the biology, it killed all the protozoa and didn't leave anything. You know, so I had to go through and, you know, basically say, well, you know, and to be honest, you know, most of the manufacturers didn't really want to hear what we had to say about their designs. So instead of, they wouldn't change. So I just had to go and figure it out. And
you know, like you know Acres USA, do you?
Yep, I know Acres.
Are you guys on there? Are you for your stuff? Because they have a whole bunch of things up there that I think you'll fit right in with it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, if they're interested, we'll work with them. But so far, they haven't expressed any interest in us. So,
well, I mean, you know, the way you do that is you start writing. You know, send them some information that write up an article on what you're doing. Keep writing. They're bound to publish it and ask for the back. You know, it's all advertising. They don't come to you. You're supposed to go to them. So, look, I'll give you money to be in your magazine, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll get on that. We're looking for places to put information out all the time. So
let me ask you a question about the brewing, the brewer, the tea brewer. They're stationary. So if you're in a big vehicle, you have to make it one place and then put it in your sprayer and then go use it somewhere else, right?
Right.
They're not meant to be like the 60-gallon one or the 100-gallon one. You can't take that with you, can you?
I mean, you could if you could find a way to mount it on a cart, mount it on the back of an ATV if you want to. But the thing is that it's a specialized unit for brewing tea and making taking biology, and the kind of components that are attached to it are more suited for that. Spraying is a different, you need a different kind of tank with different kinds of pumps and hoses and all that. So sometimes it's better to, you could do both with one.
Let me ask you another question about the spraying. So I've been hearing a variety of different things, depending upon who I talk to, about the sprayers and what some of them do damage to the biologicals in terms of getting them through the spraying machine to get out. Yeah. What do you think about that?
So here's the experience that I have with the, because we have the lab, we've tested all kinds of different equipment over the years.
Yeah.
And what we've discovered is that, like the pumps, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you can't use certain types of pumps because it damages the biology.
Yeah.
Well, what we've discovered is that if that pump, if the tea is going through the pump once, from sprayer, from holding tank to the end of your spray wand once.
Right.
The type of pump is irrelevant. If you're recirculating, then you get problems. If the pump is recirculating the tea constantly, then that causes damage. You need something like a diaphragm pump that's a little gentler than a centrifugal pump. But the reality is, if you're just using it to spray, any pump will work, any configuration.
So sprayers, what happens is that when you have it on, it goes straight through. But you turn it off, it will recycle it back into the tank.
Yeah, most of them don't do that. Very few of them. They usually just have auto shut off. You know, So if you've got a configuration that is recirculating, you might want to look at an alternative configuration.
Well, no, mine doesn't do that. That's why I asked you, because people say, well,
this is for your listeners.
What?
That was advice for your listeners. You know?
Say that again.
Yeah. So, but the other consideration, and more important, I think, than the type of pump, is the pressure.
Yeah.
So when you have a high pressure pump, you know, the pressure itself inside the pump won't hurt the biology. But when it comes out of that spray wand, the pressure, the impact pressure of that liquid on your plants or on the soil is what will kill the biology. So if you got a high pressure pump and you're shooting it straight into the soil, then that impact is going to kill everything.
What kind of pressure do you recommend?
Well, see, here's the 45 to 60 PSI. And try and get, you know, try and be, you know, 12 to 24 inches away from what you're spraying at.
Right.
Now, if you're doing trees, you know, to get the distance, let's say you got a 60-foot tall tree and you want to spray the canopy in the crown, you need pressure to get it up there.
Yeah.
By the time that spray gets to the top, the pressure is gone, right?
Uh-huh.
So you just gotta balance it. It's all about impact pressure. So
impact pressure.
Impact pressure low. So a high pressure pump going a long ways won't hurt the biology. High pressure pump going 12 inches into a tree could cause a lot of damage.
So what I do is I have a deep root feeder that I hook into it. Mm-hmm. Whenever I use the deep root feeder, it's usually like around 30. PSI or lower, because I have a valve that I can adjust. It's meant to maybe just come out really, really. It's not, you don't want to, you know, like a forceful thing to happen, from experience, I get mud and stuff everywhere. I get dirty and I get all kinds of stuff. You can see the pressure. So you want it just to come out very, very gently to get the water down deep, but enough for it to work. That's what I do with a deep root feeder.
Yep, exactly. It's all about, you know, and it's just, I think it's just common sense, right? You don't, you just don't want to create an environment that's going to smash the biology up, right?
Right, because they are supposed to be alive.
They are alive, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and bacteria doesn't care too much. So if all you're doing is working with bacteria and stuff, it doesn't matter too much, because the bacteria does fine. It's the fungi and protozoa that don't do well in high pressure or recirculating systems. So it's
right. So what I learned to do is over the years is I tend to do both ways. I have a sprayer that can regulate. It doesn't recycle, but you can put it, you can turn a valve to make it recycle, you know, if you want to. I have an aerator that aerates it for me, but I usually aerate it at home. I have my own compost tea brewer. And then I also make sure that I apply, that's why I like your soil provide, because you always want to be adding, you just can't rely on the spray to handle it. You want to be adding it directly to the soil as often as you can. I understand a big farmer may have that problem. So what do you recommend that they do?
For what?
You know, in terms of adding the biologicals to the soil, because
So on a big farm, you get those big giant spray rigs, you know, spray buggies and 500-gallon tanks, and they can spray, you know, 100 acres at a time. They just mix it with water, spray it out. Some of them will run it through irrigation. I got to work with a cattle ranch and corn grower in North Carolina. They just fly it on, you know, load up an airplane.
That's a good way to do it. And then you don't have the impact.
That's right. By the time he gets there, it's just misting the ground. So it's, you know, zero impact on that. And most of that equipment is usually it's high pressure so that it can distribute it. But by the time it actually comes out, there's almost no pressure. So
I love, by the way, your fishy motion. I'm going to have to try that. It's ocean hydrolysate. How do you say it?
Hydrolysate or
hydrolysate.
Yeah.
It's got fish, crab, and shrimp in it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's coming out of Seattle, Washington. We don't make it. We just make that available. Making fish is disgusting, so we let somebody else do it.
Well, does it have that really nice smell to it?
Yeah, it has an ocean smell. It doesn't smell bad. Smells like, you know, a fish dock, you know, fishing dock. It's not black. It's that really nice tan. It's got high oil content. It's just really, it's very nice stuff.
Ask you, is it, doesn't have urea in it because it's all MRI certified.
Yeah, it's all hydrolyzed proteins, and it's really low. I mean, it's only 2-3% nitrogen. There's no urea in it. There's no, it's all organic, you know, it's certified organic, so.
So people should go to your website, earthfort.com, right? Earthfort.com.
Yep.
I make a good name for a game, though, you know, Earthfort.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so look, what I want to do is I want to, why don't you do yourself and me a favor, make like a minute little, hi, I'm Earthfort, and I'll run it for you every show. If you want to, you can also just welcome to come on and pick a subject every month and we can talk about it. I personally like you guys to be my soil labs that I can start recommending, you know, and because finding a good soil lab, it's already confusing enough for these average people, right? It's already confusing enough. Yeah. I tell them you need to test your soil once a year.
Yeah.
Simple.
So one of the things that we offer that makes us a little different as well, every time you send in a report, we'll call you and set up a time to talk to me about your report.
That doesn't happen. Since when did you guys call people?
I've never had
a lab call me up and talk to me about their
report. That's right. That's something that we decided that, you know, we want. So my mission, if you will, is to get as many people to care about the life in their soil, because that is one of the most obvious path to helping us deal with some of our food security issues, our water security issues, air quality. There's climate change impact, all of these things all based in the soil. So it's not just about growing better food, but it's making a huge difference. So we're trying to do things differently so that in 100 years, hopefully Earthfort won't be necessary. Everybody will be taking such good care of their soil
Well,
people like you and me will just be like smiling and working in our garden.
You know, I've been yelling for years about the importance of the soil over and over again. People are calling me crazy. So now there are two of us that are crazy running around telling you, the soil, it's the soil.
Yeah, it's not crazy at all. It's not.
And it's totally, if you're a logical person, you will say, gee, oh, well, I'm an arborist, and I really should understand how the soil works, how the mycelium works, and why there are diseases in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It comes down to the soil, and comes down to a living soil. Like, you know, and I like your products. You know, I like the B1 amino acids.
Yeah,
I like the humic acid.
Those are cool products.
What?
B1 and B2 were developed in Japan, like, I don't know, a million years ago, probably. 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago for the orchid industry. And they're just, they're really more for the container grower, the home gardener. We're working on trying to get those products scaled up for agriculture, but right now it's more
for
the homeowner.
Tell me about your Cascade Blend compost. I noticed you have I don't know if I've ever seen compost that was OMRI listed.
We have a couple of different compost materials that we test regularly to make sure it's got all the biology. Those are mostly for our tea producers, but we can make truckloads of that stuff available too. I mean, the cannabis industry obviously is a customer that we have that, you know, when they're going in and putting in a new grow, you know, they need really good soil. They call us and we.
What they do now is they throw it away. They were throwing away, buying new stuff. Yeah.
Well, I'm teaching them to change that as well, that they don't need to throw it away. They can repurpose it and get it.
How many pounds
again.
Is your compost? Well, how many pounds is your compost size?
The little bag is about 20, 25 pounds.
That's nice.
So it's like a foot and a half, cubic foot. So
that's nice because the biggest problem in making compost tea is finding good compost to make it with.
Absolutely. Yep. So we're trying to, you know, and that's the thing too, is that we're not, I'm not just trying to sell Provide or my products. I mean, I'm making tools available so that people can accomplish these things the way that best fits their needs. So, you know, it's make tea. Great. I'll help you make tea. If you just want a good product to put down and not have to worry about it, then Provide.
Well, let me tell you, we're going to have to go soon, but I really want you to come on any kind of regular basis you want to. We can sit you up down the road some more. I think we need to be talking more about the soil. I'm tired of listening to myself talk about the soil. I want to hear you talking about
it. Okay, well, let's talk about that, and we can set something up. I'm happy to do that.
Great. I have a show coming up called It's Alive, It's Alive, It's Alive. I've been doing that for centuries. And I'd like to have you on as part of the. I want to have a couple of people on the panel that we can talk about soil. And you know, I have another show called The Body and the Garden. I tell people there's amazing relationship between your stomach and the microbes in the soil.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, and how that works. I tell people, look, if you destroy the topsoil, this topsoil is like the skin of the earth. You destroy your skin, you're not going to last long.
Right.
Duh. Right?
Yeah. Pretty straightforward stuff, I think.
Well, listen, yo, you're on the right path in the sense that more and more people have to listen to this if they're going to be paying if they want to stay in business farming, if they want to, you know, I read that there was a, maybe you saw, Can Dirt Save the Earth? Did you read that in the New York Times?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I tell people it's not the earth that that dirt is going to save. It's us living beings, because the earth will be around after we're long gone.
That's right. By saving the people.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on, man. This is Matt. How would you say your last name? Slaughter?
Slaughter, yeah.
And he's the president and owner of Earth Fort. So that's earthfort.com. And I would send him your lab test to start with, so for your roses and fruit trees. You'd be surprised how bad your soil is, and you do need some good advice as to make it better. Because you, once you get the lab report back, then what do? You go out and get more chemicals? No. So you have to pay attention to the soil. And because I tell people, heal the earth and you heal yourself. Isn't that right, Matt?
That's right.
All right. Thank you for calling, Matt.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you know when it's back up on the podcast, and you can download it yourself and pass it on, or we'll do all the social media and stuff with it. I just sent you a friend thing on Facebook.
Yep, I saw it.
Cool, great. And you see the stuff I've been doing, right? And I'll take a look at whatever you post too, and we should work together. And I'll send you a PDF version of my book, which I think you'll love.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, man. Take care now.
All right, you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, everybody, it's time to go. Thank you very much for listening to my show. We're going to try to do some kind of video thing going on in the future. I just have to work out some technical details over here. So, Mr. Engineer, we can say au revoir or buena avinashneen or what should I say? Anyway, here's I'll take you back to the one that we started listening to, and then we can just go from there. So, see you guys later. Bye now. Thank you. Don't panic, it's organic. Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener. Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.